Hello, tape two. Ignore that sound. That's just the way it plays back. The other, it's working fine. Okay, so what we're talking about is who are we, where are we going, how do we define ourselves. And so I want to give it an example of something. I've spent my whole life trying to help you guys see what God is without making it sound like this spiritual religious definition. Like when you were young kids, who do you think you are, young lady? The appropriate answer is God, but how dare you? Like, you're dead. That was a rhetorical question. You're actually supposed to shut up at that point, right? But the actual answer was, I'm God. And the way we actually answered it, usually when they said, why did you do that, or who do you think, because? How many of you use the answer because, or your children have thrown that answer out at you? When my kids use that answer, I just gave them the world's biggest hug, and I said, you're so amazing. You knew the answer. You have given me the answer. Everybody's looking for the answer, and you gave it to me. It's amazing. And they look at me like, huh? And here's what cuz means to me, and I believe this is what you guys meant when you said it. I am being the cause of my life, because. And because you guys are adults and stiff, I'm going to have to say cuz, because you can't handle because. So I'm going to say cuz. I'm going to lighten it up a little bit, cuz. And I'm being the cause of my life, and I've taken all the information available to me emotionally, kinesthetically, psychically, physically, vibrationally, esoterically, pragmatically, all the Lees. That, I could call it the whole Chinese family. Move the whole Lee family into you. You've taken all those Lees, and you've made this decision. And you can't possibly take the lifetime it would take to explain to us stupid adults why did you have a cuz? Your job, and you knew it when you were little, cuz. That is the answer of all time. If you can find a better answer, I'd love to have it. I don't think there's a better answer than, why is it you did that? Cuz. And as kids, you guys knew all this stuff. You had it all, and we tried to quit being a smart aleck. Well, I don't know. I can't help that you're stupid and you don't understand what I'm saying to you. I told you, cuz. I mean, tell me a better answer. Well, actually, because it was a rhetorical question, we were supposed to, like, shut up. I've always had verbal diarrhea as a diagnosis, so that wasn't necessarily my job. So what you'll find in this world of defining, this great show came on to tell me about what God was, and it's Ron Glass, a tall, slender black actor. I'm trying to think what he played, and he's got a lot of charisma and a lot of attitude, even when he's not doing anything. And then they picked this real sickly, wimpy-looking white guy, and it's just this half-hour show with the two of them. And the first, Ron Glass plays the devil, and it's really good. I mean, he really looks, got these cute little horns and this great reddish-brown makeup, and he looks like the earthly version of the devil. He looks like this real badass devil guy. And he has attitude. He has these great shades on, and he keeps saying, look, I'm the devil, burn, baby, burn, and I'm a badass. And he's just relentless black attitude. He did the full advantage of it. And every time they edited back and forth between the white guy and him, he'd have a different T-shirt on, and the T-shirt would say, I'm omnipotent, I'm omnipresent, deal with it. You know, just attitude, exhausting. And he kept saying over and over to the guy, this is the black and white version of Rumpelstiltskin. You have three chances to tell me something I can't do as an all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-seeing being, or I'm going to take your soul. Good luck, white boy. And it was really fun. It was just total caricatures, total stereotypes. And so you just get exhausted by the end of the show. You go, oh, God, like, take him and shut up. And so he finally comes in at the end after these two chances, and he comes for the third one, and he keeps reminding the guy, look, I can be anywhere, I know everything, I can do everything, and now it's your time to tell me something I can't do. And the guy goes, you know, I'm just so tired, just like you, right, audience? We're so tired of you. I just wish you'd get lost. And that was the answer. He didn't know, the way he said it wasn't the answer, but after a couple of seconds, he disappeared, and he went, oh yeah, that was the answer. So one thing an all-knowing and all-powerful and all-seeing being can't do is get lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. What is it that you guys are on vacation? I hope you get this. As God, you're on vacation here. What is the one thing God can't do is get lost? So when God wants to have a break from himself, herself, itself, it, their self, however we want to look at it, the self, it goes on a vacation, and it goes on a vacation of being lost. And so you guys are on vacation trying to rush back to the office. It's crazy. You guys are all light beings in search of a human experience. You're not humans in search of a light experience. You already are light beings. Your homework is to just love who you are, know who you are, enjoy the life you have. Even if you're a migrant farm worker working out in the pesticides and you know, bare minimum wage, love it. Be the best you can be. If you're the plumber doing all that sewage, be the best you can be at it. If you're this great, amazing person, be the best you can be at it. Don't give us attitude. Just be the best at what you do so that we all can appreciate our position and job within the system, within the cells, mutual respect for each other. And the only time we don't do mutual respect is when we're not loving ourselves. If you're really loving yourselves, you love everybody. You don't even really care. You don't even attention them. They're not there to mirror anything for you. So the homework here is to recognize that you've got to be fearless. You've got to be brave. It's about trust, and it's about just being the best you can be. Relationship is what we get into to expose ourselves, because once we psychically hook up or emotionally hook up with our children or with our pets or with these people we love so much, their job is to expose our greatest terror. If you're afraid of losing things or losing control, you'll get some cat who wants out all the time. If you're afraid of being smothered and suffocated, you'll open the door and the cat goes, I'm not going anywhere. I'm sitting on your lap, whether you like it or not. So the next door neighbor will have your cat, and you'll have their cat, and you wish to trade, and as soon as you trade, they turn into the other version of that cat. The grass is always greener on the other side. Whatever your issue is will come into your face. Like my wives are totally different with their husbands because they worked on some of their issues and their husbands have different issues. So they're still getting some of theirs back, but who they are with them is totally different. And so a lot of people as a therapist, I used to, women would come into me all the time and say, I just spent 20 years with him just to get him so he could be the perfect husband for her or that bitch over there. How many of you guys have had that comment? Any of you guys or have friends that say that? You know, I did all this so that, what, am I the factory that gets them all perfect for the next guy? Where's my guy? And the trick was is that if they really looked carefully, they'd see that nothing really changed unless that person really changed. They're having the same issue. It's just done in a different way. And we're not always there to see the intimate relation. It's even in line at the bank. It's about being invested or being intimate with the person. Most people can't handle intimate situations because they're not brave enough for the spontaneity of it. So if you guys are in an elevator, heaven help you if you're in an elevator with me. I just talk to everybody. I just want, where are you going? What floor are you come from? What are you doing here? You guys having a secret rendezvous? I just totally butt in. I'm talking, hell, you're trapped with me in an elevator. We might die. Let's have a chat. Who knows what's coming next? I'm going to be here now with you. And everybody's afraid to, like, they don't want to say one thing. And, like, who's in the elevator that even knows them? They want this total stranger to hear them answer it. Your guy's job is to be really brave and take full advantage of every relationship opportunity you get, which is tons of them. It's walking from here to your place tonight, or just that you probably bump into some. It's to be willing and ready and able to not, well, I have an agenda. Carson's on tonight. I got to get home by 11. Stop and be present in the moment. You might have this really amazing chat. You never know where it'll lead you. My favorite movies were those movies like where they start a James Dean sort of movie where black and white and a bus enters this dusty little old town and stops, and then the dust clears past the bus and James Dean gets off with his little duffel bag, and you can tell he just came from nowhere and is going nowhere. It's almost like he spun around three times and said, oh, I don't think I'll go that way. And that's how life really is for us. If you stay in the moment, every moment is part of a flow. Every moment leads to another thing. The only times you guys get exhausted is when you have an agenda or when you think you need to get somewhere. I had an agenda to get here, and it had totally exhausted me, caught up with me. I didn't sleep for 3 days. I was totally getting everything ready. I knew once I got here, I'd get to rest. And then I got here, and I collapsed. And I wasn't staying in the moment. I caught myself on it, but it took me 3 days to figure it out. We all have our things that trip us and trigger us. Me, it's schedules. I'm not good with schedules, and they just rough ride on me. And each one of us have our own thing. And so it's just to pay attention to it. So what I did for the last day is I just sat there and did my homework on why it is I did my schedule this way. What is it that I compromised? What is it I thought I was giving to myself? What was my exchange? I didn't want to disappoint anybody. Well, what was I doing? The homework is to watch it. And even though we all, no matter how, I've really been doing my homework diligently. I'm going to show you a couple pretty cool techniques that'll help you zoom along with stuff. Even then, you still have your issues. The trick is, you just get to laugh at them, or you get to see, they don't destroy your life. So I spent a day in bed, so what? You know, I'm busy, you know, instead of being industrious, I was creating civilizations for 24 hours. The homework is to just be okay with your stuff. And when the shit hits the fan in relationship, thank the other person. You don't have to go, thank you for being a bitch. You know, you not thank you for being a jerk then. Your homework is to get in your cells knowing, wow, what is it about me that this person's reflecting? Why is it that I'm going off on this? Why is it so important to me? And when you get into those levels of challenging intimacy is when the stuff really comes up. That doesn't mean, no, you don't get to get divorced. There's nothing, of course, don't ask me about divorce. I have an opinion, obviously, about it. I think it's a very cool thing. Bankruptcy and divorce are two of my favorite things. Judy Garland died owing $4 million. I'm going to beat that record. I'm going for it. You know, Judy, I'll go compare notes in heaven. I'm coming. You guys have all been led to have a lot of shame. It's not you're breaking God's laws if you have a divorce or if you ever do bankruptcy. By the way, I have this whole chat about bankruptcy for you guys. Even though I've never had the privilege of doing it, lots of my friends have through my coercion, and they said it's the best thing they've ever done. And the secret is all of my family uses bankruptcy every year. It's one of the tools of the rich. And then we shame everyone else into thinking you shouldn't use it or you're bad people, so we can use it. That tax law, by the way, for those of you who get involved in the accounting aspect, is going to change in the next couple of years. So anybody playing with thinking about it, I suggest you look at it soon and look at your shame issues over it. That's a relationship with you and the authority figures, you and your lies. It's like police. I just did a drive. I drove Annie from California to her new house in Austin, and we drove 100 miles all the way. And she had this printout her son gave her of all the speed traps, got it off the internet, of all the speed traps and where they were. And I said, oh, don't give it to me. I don't even believe in them. And we saw two police, and they were the two police we saw leaving town on the way out. And we flew, and her son, who was driving the truck and driving sweet and smooth and nice, because you can only drive this big 24-foot truck so fast loaded with furniture, not only got stopped, but got frisked and pushed up against the car, and his friend had a chapstick thing in there. And what is this, son? Well, chapstick, Your Honor. I don't know. They got their issues came at them. The homework is if you have an authority figure issue, it will come at you. Mine is the fear of death, and I handled most of that. So now we just get to push the agendas and trigger things, and it's fun. You'll actually get to go into the fun of it. I'm not here to say, oh, go out and piss everybody off. You'll find that you're not going to upset people. Things that you think will upset people, if I do them, don't upset people. If you do them, they'll upset people. Or the thing that I think might get me hurt, if you do them, they won't get you hurt. They might get me killed. So the homework is to recognize your issues, let relationship bring it up for you. And if it's too intense for you or you're not ready to handle it, admit it and move into a relationship where you can handle it, thank the person and move on. Like for me, I'll give you personal stuff because it's easier to see where it's coming from. Like with my third wife, Brooke, who I love very much, where we just love each other dearly, our number one and only homework assignment was that she loved Hawaii. I couldn't stand it. I liked what I learned there, but the heat and humidity, I like Carmel very much. Give me sunshine and freezing cold. I keep my house at 50 degrees and I'm in heaven. Like if you don't see your breath in my house, it's not cold enough. Now, if you guys come to visit, I will turn on the heat. I actually found where the knob was the other day so somebody could have warmth. But I like it cold. And so we looked at, after 6 years of her trying to deal with me overheating and me trying to coerce her into living somewhere else, even though we owned all these houses and all these places, Hawaii was her spot. And I looked at her one day and I said, you know, I should have had a V8. No, I finally got this idea. I said, oh, pop quiz, you guys, a V8. A few giggles with that. I looked at her and said, you know what, sweetheart, you're a palm tree. And I'm a pine tree, and I don't grow here. And that was the definition I'd spent 6 years looking for, and she helped me discover, you know what, I really am a pine tree. I just go, heaven, I just go, you put me right in my beach house in Carmel, and I just come alive, and I love the fog, and I love the cold, and I love the sun, but when it's sunny, it's not hot, and the humidity is this ocean humidity versus Hawaii humidity, so I don't feel like you guys get. It's like saran wrap with butter injected into it. I feel like, can I breathe? Like, that's why I'm here this time of the year. I love this time of the year. You can't get me here during that stuff you guys have. But there are people here who love that. And so I realized I'm a pine tree. So I finally worked my life around being a pine tree. It's an easy definition for me. And it's like when I say to a straight violet, like, be Cher. You know, don't put a, if you ever see her in a Laura Ashley dress, call me. It'll be the shock of your lifetime as well as mine. It's a, The homework is to recognize your real truth and relation. That relationship with her was 6 years of torture in Hawaii. I mean, we did great. We loved each other, but I was dying. Couldn't breathe, couldn't move. It was horrible. And it took me 6 stubborn years to finally realize that I was torturing myself. I didn't have to change the weather. I didn't have to change the environment. So for you guys, you don't have to change yourselves. Love and accept yourself. And we shook each other's hand in tears and loved each other and said, "Sweetheart, I just can't be married to you anymore." She goes, "You know, I can't be married to you either, and I totally love you, and I totally love you too. Adios. Hasta, brah." And we went off, and we were still very connected and really good friends. And the fun part was, is we immediately, because we honestly and did our homework and really got our part, she got her part that it's her job is to be in Hawaii and be the palm tree, and it's my job to be the pine tree. And we just had this revelation over it. And so the funniest thing is, within a week, she created this guy who looks like me. The only difference is he's got a darker tan. He's Hawaiian. And he talks like me, looks like me, does the same kind of work, does everything except that he loves Hawaii. And so she gets to be the albino Hawaiian with him now. She's just in heaven. She totally loves it. And within a week, I met this person that totally changed my life, who is much more up to the speed that I want, who was a pine tree, but had all the parts plus some that Brooke had, and helped me through the next phase. It's really, your guys' job is to watch out for this thing about bankruptcy. I'm going to call it emotional bankruptcy, or divorce, or to be afraid to get into a relationship because 3 days from now it might be over. You're missing your chance for growth, even if it's only 72 hours. You throw your heart into the arena. You totally go for it openly and honestly. And if within 24 hours you can't do it, you look at the person, "I can't do it anymore. I got what it, not that I can't do it, it isn't working. I got what I needed," is the real thing. "I got what I was looking for." Sometimes you don't know what it is, but as soon as it's over, you can just say, "'Cause I've taken all this information, I've filtered it all through, and all I know is 'cause I'm over it." You're over it. That's all you get to say, and you are not responsible for the other person's feelings. One of the biggest tricks in America is that self-centeredness. It's hard for you to stay present and touch your body and be here for yourself. I can distract you easily. I just make a little sound. It's so we and you're shamed into being this selfish person. It's either selfish or others. You do it for you or you do it for others. Who are you really doing it for? The measurement is, if you did it for yourself, even if you fucked up, it feels satisfying, it feels whole, feels fulfilling, like you're playing with your blocks as a kid, and if they fall over, you go, "Oh, cool, I'll just find another way to do it." But if I come over and say, "Now, don't you know you're supposed to put a brace here, and if you do that, it'll do better," and let's say they built the world's tallest thing, is it satisfying? "Oh, you didn't do it for yourself. You built my Babylon. You didn't build your Tower of Babylon, you built mine." The homework is to do it your way, even if it only makes it a foot up and crumbles. You won't be upset about it. You're learning. You're going through the process. And it's the self-centeredness. It's real important. And so here's how it works. I want you guys to know you're always in the middle. Are you aware of that you're always in the middle? Who's beat? Experience, or inexperience, depending on how you look at it. So, are you brave enough to do that in a relationship? Are you brave enough to get your issue right away, thank the person, and dismiss yourself? Or all you guys, ones that feel guilty or ashamed, you're going to drag it out. You have to make somebody a bad person in order for this relationship to have its natural conclusion. Relationship is a success when the shit hits the fan. It is a success when the shit hits the fan. It is not a failure. You are in relationship to see your issues. Acknowledge your issues, deal with them immediately, and get on with your life. That's the key. And that doesn't mean you can't get remarried later. It doesn't mean you can't go do this back and forth. There's nothing. I've watched people do this accordion thing. We're separated, we're divorced, we're back and forth. Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, they took them a while to get their homework down, but they got some of it done, and they had to get this back and forth thing a few times. I'm not saying that I'm encouraging divorce, nor am I saying that you shouldn't get married, in fact, what I'm saying is make a commitment, but make a commitment to right here and now and be fully present. Here's what in the middle means. Whenever you get self-centered, there's an equal distance stuff ahead of you as there is behind you, or ahead of you, sorry, I have to reverse it. Behind you as there is ahead of you. Is that accurate for where you guys are facing me? Is that ahead in English? We go from left to right, or is that how it works? So what... Children are so self-centered, they only can remember for their short years just a few days worth of stuff and a few days in advance, and as you get older you remember more back and you look more towards the future. The homework is, though, even with all that available, to stay present in the moment. This is the good old day. Let's say you became chief executive officer of this company you've been working for, Victoria, and so you started from the male room or from the female room, whichever it might be. You started from the female room and you worked your way up to be the CEO of this company, and you take this breath, because by then you finally can breathe again, right? You're out of reactionism, you're back into creation for a moment, and we take that breath and we look back and we see, wow, look at all the stuff it took for us to get there. And then the minute you take that breath, guess what? Look at all the stuff that's yet to do. And it will be equal to that amount of stuff you saw. The moment you get centered, the moment you take a breath and get present in the moment, you'll see that you're always in the middle. No matter what accomplishment you make, no matter how cool you think you are, there's always that much you did and always that much to do. So let's say my effective talk today, you went home and said, you know what, I am God. You know, I don't have to have this black guy come in and convince me. I'm God, and it's okay. And I'll tell you what, God's no big deal. It's just one more middle. It's one more CEO experience, one more three-letter word. So you look back and go, look at all the lifetimes it took, or look at all the experiences, or all of whatever, and I'm God. And look, there's so much more to do. It doesn't end with understanding that you're God. In fact, one of the jokes I used to say is that's what I think the Masons were doing. You know, what everybody thinks, there's this big brick wall here, so when you get to be God, you hit it, and probably the Masons built it. So you don't get to go to it, but they know what's on the other side. They built the wall. The homework is the minute you're God, it's just one more step in an unlimited growth process. You're like a rose unfolding. Do not be afraid to claim that you're God. Do not be afraid to claim your self-centeredness. It's not a big deal. The minute you discover who you are, who gives a shit? It's just one more center. That's a really hard thing, because we've really put upon you, don't you dare be arrogant, or don't you dare be an adult. But we're the adults here. Well, I don't know. I've never met one yet, but you can say that you are. And so these people who weren't adults, but not wanting to get challenged in it, told you as their version of an adult, don't be one. When you were much more of an adult as a kid than they ever will be. My definition of an adult, since I always believe in defining things, so you know what I'm talking about, is I believe an adult is a person who does what they want, when they want, how they want, and they reap the rewards and suffer the consequences. They're willing to do stage one. They're willing to tell their absolute truth. They're not afraid of, they don't need to do drama and crisis, they don't need to do disease, and they don't need to do the fourth stage, which is pending death. You guys don't need to make yourself sicker. You don't need to have the sign to say your truth. You just say it. You don't have to make the person you're in relationship a bad person. And don't let your friends do it. Don't let them take sides and do this. That's just their issues. If somebody takes sides with you, even if they're in your favor, they say, even if they compliment your relationship, wow, you guys have the world's best relationship. Well, Rob, you know what? It's number one, none of your business. And number two, I'm very grateful that we reminded you of your issues. What is it you seem to be seeing here that reminds you of, why is it you even needed to measure it? What are we reflecting for you? Thank you for the compliment, but you know what? I can line up 10 other people who don't agree, or 10 people who don't care, or another 9 who agree with you. So what? Your opinion of it is invalid. It's simply for you to pay attention to. It's for your edification. So watch out. We will pay you a compliment. And blues get this all the time, so I'm going to pick on you on this one. God, your hair looks so beautiful. Did I tell you I murdered 6 people this morning? Do you remember? They get you in line at the bank on this one. Like these blues, you guys with blues, total strangers come up and tell you their horror stories. Do you get that? You have a little bit. Do they do that to you? Yeah. And they'll always have to pay you in advance. I paid you a compliment. Now listen. So give them a refund. Your hair looks great too. Shut the fuck up. You didn't ask me if I was willing to hear that stuff. And no, this isn't some deposit fund that you pay and then get to dump all this stuff. You didn't pay me near enough. Now, blue has a hard time saying that. I want you to know, for you guys with blue, it's really hard to say no. So I want you to know you're supposed to say yes to yourself. This is what relationship's about, learning to say yes to yourself. If I'm in relationship with you and you have to disappoint me, how can you disappoint me? I'm just simply projecting on you what I need you to be, and you can't be what I need you to be, which, number one, isn't your job. So I'm so disappointed in you. And so the blue gets to do the I'm sorry thing. I'm sorry that I disappointed you, and I'm sorry that you wanted to be a reality of who I wasn't because you're not able to be yourself and you needed a medication and you can't stand who you are. I'm really sorry about that. But I paid you a compliment, so you're supposed to sit here and process me. You're supposed to make me feel better about myself. It's a trick. So anytime we pay you a compliment, give us a refund. No, thank you. Or, I don't care. Or, your hair looks great too. Whatever, but stop it there. Watch out for it. It's a setup. In America, we do a lot of, I call, Miss Manners setups. I can't even believe we have an Heloise and a Miss Manners and a Dear Abby. You guys get brain, if you ever paid attention to any one of them, you got brainwashed over and over again. It's a setup. I was nice to you. How dare you be rude to me? I'm going to give you some examples. Can I have you guys for another hour? Is anybody able to make it that long? Not make it? Been okay? Can you guys, I'm going to reframe how is that okay? Will that work for a little while? 20 minutes? Okay, I'm going to tell this one and then I'll show you this techniques. When I bought my car, I learned a long time ago, I don't want the service manager to be my best friend. I don't care if they have coffee sitting out for me, decaffeinated or not. I don't care if it's the most gorgeous place and they all dress in perfect little yuppie suits and they give me their great dialogue and they all speak with perfect syntax and proper English. And, you know, as far as I want them to speak Japanese, it makes it a lot easier for me. So I'm not impressed. Speak Japanese, maybe we can go somewhere. So I walk into this place, I buy my car, I drive it right around to the service bay. I mean, my car, I love it, brand new, put the top down, gorgeous, they just had it washed, it's as new as it's going to get. And I loved it, you know, I bought my new toy, or a new boy and his toys. Drove it up to the service bay and demanded the service manager come out. And everybody's going, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, nothing. I love this car, nothing's wrong. Where's the service manager? Service manager comes out, and I've done this for years with cars, and I said to them, look, I don't want to be your best friend. I don't care whether your kids are alive or not. I don't care if you're married or not. I don't care how you dress or don't dress. When my car's broken, I want it fixed. And I'm having an attitude about it. I'm letting you know I don't care whether I like you or not. I don't fix my car when I bring it. What's the matter, sir? What's wrong? Did we do something? I said, wow, I'm as happy as I've ever been. I'm really grateful I got my car. What makes you think I'm angry? Well, because I'm being direct with them in matter of fact, and I'm telling them the truth. I wasn't angry. I had no reason. I was excited. I just gave them a straightforward truth, and this poor guy could not understand that I wasn't angry. He just couldn't get off of what's wrong. And I said, I finally said to him, so you think I'm angry? Wait till you see me angry then, because I'm really saying to you, I'm totally ecstatic. I just brought this car. I really love it. I just know that if I'm really nice to you and if I'm your best friend, I get pushed to the back of the pile in my car. I don't want you wanting me to come here. I want you to not, when the minute you see my car come around the corner, go fix it and get him the fuck out of here. That's what I want. And time is important to me, and I don't want to hear any of your stories, any of the parts. And he's going, boy, you sound so angry. I said, no, I can't, no, brand new car. The poor guy just couldn't get it. So finally, when I finally brought it in for the first oil change, he came out and said, hello, Mr. Rob, sir. And it's the only person I ever let call Mr. Rob, sir. I go, you want my dad? He's in Italy. Give him a call. And my car got fixed. We'll have it ready in a couple hours, sir. We'll even wash it for you. You can while you wait. And it just got done. And so what you find is if you're willing to break through all that shame and stuff and not, I wasn't angry. And don't not let them process it any way they want. That's just, obviously, if you're going to be a service manager, you're used to people being angry with you. That's the person who's totally taking on lots of anger. And when you're just sitting there being matter of fact, why wouldn't they think it's that way? My job was not to say, oh, gee, I'm sorry, but, or let me explain it to you. I just had fixed my car. And when I came in, it did the job that it was supposed to do. America really tries talking and shaming you guys out of asking for what you need and want. Relationship is there to help you get what you need and want, and are you brave enough to say it matter of fact and be blunt and still love the person? My first date with Annie, we went out and I walked around the car, opened the door, so she goes, I didn't ask you to open the door. Whoa, got busted on my own stuff. Shut the door. Yes, ma'am. Came around the other side. She goes, yes, I would like for you to open the door, but you made an assumption. And she said, an assume means you make an ass out of you and me. So we need to have a chat about this. when you open the door, what does that mean to you? God, she talks like I do. This is a woman in my dreams. How is this in heaven? I was going, oh my God, this, I'm having to define why it is I went around and opened the door. And yeah, I made some assumptions. And yes, because psychically I got that she really did want the door open, but she still wanted to have a chat. What does it mean to you when you open the door for me? Am I some frail woman who can't do this? Or are you just... you're just appreciating me and you're opening the door, showing me that you really want to have an effortless and easy life with me. What are you into? I said, that sounds good. I like that. Never thought about it that way. I'll take choice number two, Monty. That's better than the one I probably had going. I didn't know why I did it. And she busted me out. She goes, why'd you do that? Conditioning. I didn't even know. This is precursor to the PC era, your politically correct stuff. And to have that much truth and that much honesty, it wasn't about she wasn't angry. She did the same thing I did to the car dealer. She wasn't angry, wasn't upset, nothing happened. She just wanted to know why. And she didn't go, oh, Robbie, will you tell me why you did that? It's like, I didn't ask you to do that. Shut the door. Let's have a chat. Are you guys willing to be that brave to go into a relationship? And I promise you, if you do it, you'll get so much more intimacy because you're telling each other the truth. And you're not having to preface it with, gee, I'm sorry, but I hope you don't mind. I know I'm supposed to be responsible for your feelings, but I can't be. You know, or, oh, I hope I don't disappoint you. Well, you can't. Your job is not to medicate us, not to... And that doesn't mean you can't do it lovingly. You can't do it. In fact, for me, I really like direct and blunt. I like it just like nothing but the facts. I feel like Joe Friday. Joe Friday with a smile on his face for once. Nothing but the facts, man, because things move along. You know, Dragnet moved along. That's what I learned about America. You can move things along if you just have nothing but the facts and get rid of Frank Gannon. You can get places and do it fast. Frank Gannon reminds me of all the Americans. Well, he always has to explain everything. He's always talking. He's saying useless stuff. He's filling in the gaps with nothing. Do you believe you're not being loving if you're silent? Do you believe you're not being loving if you don't preface something with, I love you, but, or, gee, I'm sorry, or when you get into some sweetsy, cutesy voice? Watch out for the intimations of mannerisms, prefacing. Be your real self. And watch, what do you think your real self is right now might be totally different than you imagine. What child, when they're little, goes, you know, I really was hoping it did. They usually say, mine! And grab it. And no! Mine and no, like, are the first two things besides mom and dad, because we brainwashed them. Mommy, daddy. The ones they learned on their own were mine and no. I'm taking it and get out of my face. We still loved them. And they didn't go, gee, I'm sorry, but that was their job to show you that these children are really teaching you how it really works before the propaganda. Very, very important. In the world of mirroring, here's a technique. It's on the...